Dear listener, welcome to the sermon channel of the International Protestant Church in Zurich, Switzerland. Today's recording is slightly different in that we include a child dedication and at the end the powerful hymn, To God Be the Glory. Our wish is that you will take new impulses for your daily walks from this recording, and we wish you our Lord's blessings. Thank you for listening, your IPC sound and stream team.
Good morning. Welcome to the International Protestant Church of Zurich's morning worship. Welcome especially to all our guests. Welcome to those people virtually here online via Zoom. I would like to introduce our guest preacher for today. Dave Martin is coming down to us from the Black Forest. He is the Senior Regional Director for Young Life, which is an organization aimed at, obviously, young people and helping them dedicate their lives to Christ. He has preached for us a number of times before. He was, if some of you may recall, a speaker at one of our retreats one year. So we know him and we welcome him back.
All right, well, this is a very special time, and I am honored to do a baby dedication as your guest pastor today. I do not take this lightly. I am a father of four children, and it is truly my honor. So if I could have the Papula family come on up, Lawrence and Anna. Is it Anna or Anna? Anna? Yes, my daughter's name is Anna. It is a beautiful name. And this is your baby.
Yes.
Oh, look at her. Golly. This is Josephine. How old is Josephine?
8 weeks.
8 weeks. And your family's here, right? Yes, who's here?
Both our parents.
Really? Oh, can you raise your hands to parents? Welcome. Would you like to come up with us? Please, join us. Isn't this great? Man, I love this. Are there any other parents in the room? Anybody a parent? Anybody empathize? Okay. Anna, so glad that you're here. Lawrence, thank you so much. Okay. So we will continue with the vows to the parents. Lawrence and Anna, do you recognize that Josephine is a gift from God? And do you thank God for the gift of your daughter?
We do.
Do you accept the joys and the responsibilities of parenting, promising to love and care for Josephine throughout her life?
We do.
With the help God provides, do you commit to teach Josephine the fullness of God's word and demonstrate through your own example and witness what it means to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself?
We do.
To the congregation, as I present this to you, going a little off script, when we do these things, this is really meant to be sincere. This isn't just hollow words. I know that they are not strangers here, that you've been around for a while. I'm assuming you're going to continue to be around for a little while longer. And I would ask, as you say these words, as you agree to this, that you would take this seriously. Check in on them. Anybody remember having a new baby? Not the easiest day. There's one back there. He's quivering in his boots right now. There's another one. Okay, three of us have had babies. And it's a long journey, and I am the parent of four adult children, and it is still a journey. So no one told me, by the way, I'm going to tell you this now, when she's 18, you're still going to be a parent. When she's 25, you're still going to be a parent. And the problems just seem to get bigger, you know, but it's going to be okay, because God is with you. All right, my friends, will you offer your ongoing love, support, prayers, encouragement to Lawrence and Anna in their role as Josephine's parents? Will you also be faithful in praying for Josephine and, as much as you are able, help teach and set a godly example for her so that she might one day come to trust in Jesus as her Lord and Savior? We will. The prayer of dedication. Oh, man. May I have this little baby? I promise I'll give her back. Hey there, how are you doing? Oh, you just ate. She's happy for a minute. Josephine, may I pray for you? This is your dedication. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to give thanks for Josephine and to dedicate her to life to you. Receive her. Ooh, oh, God bless you. Oh, mercy. Oh, I love this. Receive her into your loving care and establish a lasting faith within her. Truly, Lord, we ask this. Look with kindness upon Lawrence and Anna. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you have given them. Grant them the presence of your Holy Spirit, that they may bring up Josephine to know you, to love you, and to serve you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Josephine, I'm about to put my hand on your head and I'm going to bless you. Josephine, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Well, this is my favorite part of the day. I get to do the walkabout, which I understand is, yes, I'm just going to rock Josephine to sleep and let her rest. But I'm going to introduce her to you. So, hey, everyone, this is Josephine. Yes. So she is beautiful. And I'm just borrowing her for a moment. So, everyone in the back, see Josephine. Hey there. Well, she is really enjoying this. If you could just keep clapping, that would be great. And if every night about 8 p.m., if one of you would just come over to Lawrence and Anna's house and put her in a car seat and drive her around for 8 hours, that would be great. Would you appreciate that?
Yes.
All right, Anna, here's your baby. Do you have her?
Yeah.
There we go. Lawrence and Anna, you have selected the following verse to be read here today as Josephine's dedication. Psalm 139, 13 through 14. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well, Lord. Josephine, you are beautifully and wonderfully made. Amen. On behalf of our church family, we'd like to present to you with a certificate of dedication, as well as a gift to remember today's dedication.
Thank you.
Do you have that yet? So I truly use that very, not that this very one, but this book, this Bible with my children, and it is amazing, and I hope that you thoroughly enjoy that. So go in peace and serve the Lord, and may you be blessed. And I am so honored to be here with you today. And I'd love to give this to you as well, so you could just remember this. And if it sounds crazy, but in the service, if you want my contact information, I'll be glad to be whatever you need me to be from afar. I live an hour and 15 minutes from here. You may need a break and just come and spend the night. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. In the name of Christ, amen. Go in peace.
Today's scripture reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 to 26, and can be found on page 726 of the Church Bibles. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. This is the word of the Lord. Today's second scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 56. And can be found on page 1038 of the Church Bible. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not tell anyone, or he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Hi, my name is David Martin. I am your guest today, and what an honor to be here. I do work for Young Life. I've been on Young Life staff for 31 years. I've been married for 30 years. I have four adult children. I have lived in Germany for since 1994. I'm a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary and a graduate of Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, and I am so happy to be here with you today. And thanks for the baby dedication. Your baby's so beautiful. Thank you. Let me say this as we begin. God makes beautiful things. God makes beautiful things out of us. He makes beautiful things out of you and me. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, Holy Father, Holy Spirit, Lord, we know that you are present with us today. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to enter into your presence. Lord, that we would know you, that we would hear you, that we would experience you. Lord, thank you for your people. Lord, we want to say thank you for a cross. Thank you for a resurrection. Thank you for an eternity. Thank you for making us beautiful things. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. So I'm going to take a few minutes to tell you a little bit of my story, a little bit of God's story, and hopefully a little bit of your story. And I had the privilege of coming and being with you a few times a couple years ago. And to my dismay, I found myself a couple months later, 3 months later, on December 30th, sitting in a hospital with a doctor, and he gave me these words, "David, you have cancer." I couldn't imagine that I had cancer, and in fact, I had throat cancer. And I thought, how could I be preaching at IPC and at the Black Forest Christian Fellowship and conferences and spending time with young people, and suddenly I have cancer? And I thought, surely it can't be that big of a deal. But I remember he looked at me and said, "David, you have cancer." And my whole world stopped at that moment. And some of you, most all of us, have been impacted by this with somebody in our lives. Maybe yourself. Maybe you're empathetic to what I will tell you. But I remember everything stopping immediately. And I just went into my own world for the next 20, 30 seconds. And I remember distinctly thinking, while the doctor continues speaking, and my wife is here, and she's in shock, and he's talking, and she's in shock, and he's talking, and she's in shock. And in my head, I'm frozen, and I suddenly realize I have to make a decision. Lord, I can do this with you, or I can try to do this without you. There really is no without you, if you understand what I'm saying. But you may have people in your life who choose to do things on their own. And maybe we get frustrated, maybe we get angry, maybe we get bitter, maybe we wonder, why me? And maybe you've wondered, why me? And maybe you've wondered, why my mother, why my father, why my brother, why my sister, why my child, why my friend? We live in a broken world. Our world is infected with this disease called sin. And because of this, this is not the place that God meant it to be. It is no longer perfect. It is tainted. And bad things happen to people. Bad things happen to good people. But God makes beautiful things out of you and me. If you don't hear anything else but this, hear this. Jesus makes us new. Jesus makes us new every day. If you know him, if you believe in him, if you follow the person of Jesus Christ, he will make you new every day, bit by bit, centimeter by centimeter, but he is in the business of making us new. And it struck me about 5 years ago, I wrote a sermon, and the name of the sermon was Bitter or Better. Did you hear those words? Bitter or better. And so often I see people choose bitter. We become frustrated and angry and hurt and sad and broken and mad. But God doesn't want us to choose bitter. He wants us to choose better. And I remember in that moment, and the doctor's still talking, my wife is still in shock, and I had this moment of, okay, Lord, I'll do this with you. I'll choose better. I need you. Then I stopped and I looked at my wife, who has big eyes looking at me, and I said, it's going to be okay. And we wept a little bit, and not easy to talk about this. And then I looked at the doctor and I said, I'm so sorry. I've not heard anything you've said for the last minute. Can you start over after the cancer part? And then we spent 2.5 hours speaking to surgeons and the chemotherapist guy and the radiation guy and the surgeon guy and all those people. And we made a decision that we would have surgery. And I say we because if you've gone through this and you're married, I did not go through this journey. We went through this journey. Let me tell you a little bit about the treatment as we choose to do this with God. They said, hey, this is stage 2 cancer. We can take this out through surgery. 8 to 12 weeks, you'll be back at work. You'll be speaking again in no time. You'll be doing what you do in no time. So we went in for the first surgery. And here's what I thought to myself. I want to do this well. And I'm just going to tell you with complete transparency, I had no idea what I was saying. Because I thought doing this well was doing this with courage. Showing my children what it looked like to be brave. Showing my friends what it looked to be like to be strong and capable. To take a deep breath and say, I'm in. I'll do this. But here's the truth. I was weak. I was afraid. I became anxious. And I must tell you that before this moment, I was not a fearful person. I had never felt anxiety or anxiousness If you've had those feelings before, I have now become crazy empathetic with you, truly. If you want to be changed, have a good dose of cancer. It will change you. I don't recommend it, but it will change you. So Paul struggled with a thorn in his side. We don't know what the thorn was, but we know that he pleaded with the Lord, "Father, take this from me." And God said this, "My grace, Paul, is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses," Paul said, "so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses. And in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I must tell you, I was very weak. So I would be in the hospital for 10 days. And on the fifth day, the surgeon, his name is Michael, we've become very close, he comes in to me and says, "David, the pathology report has come in. I'm so sad to tell you that we did not get all the cancer." I said, "What do you mean? You told me you would take it out. You told me that I'd be back at work in 8 to 12 weeks. He said, "I'm so sorry." He goes, "It's not stage 2 cancer. It's stage 4, and it's so much bigger than we ever thought." I go, "What does this mean?" He says, "We'll have to do another surgery." And I said, "I don't think I want another surgery. What are my options?" He goes, "If we don't do this, you'll die." "How bad is the surgery?" He goes, "Much worse than the first one." "How bad?" He goes, "Multiple times bad." So I call it the bad mamma jamma. That's what I got. And I just remember thinking, this is worse than the diagnosis. My heart just sank to the pit of my stomach. And so after that, I actually had 2 more emergency surgeries before the big mamma jamma. And I remember going to the hospital 2 more times and thinking like, "Oh man, how do we get through this?" And then it came time for surgery number 4, the big one, and they would reconstruct my throat. And I remember the first time driving to the hospital, my wife is, "How are you?" I go, "Oh, I'm great. Remember, I'm gonna do this well. I'm gonna do this well. I'm not so well anymore." And I realized, I don't think I'm doing this very well. And anybody heard of the band U2? Anybody grew up in the 80s besides me? Man, me and Bono, I think we could be brothers. And I don't know if you remember, but in the early 80s, on an album called War, they actually produced a song called 40. What a crazy song to be on a rock album, right? 40, Psalm 40. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry." I listened to that song by 40, probably 200 or 300 times in my time in the hospital, just over and over. "He waited patiently and inclined and heard my cry." So now we're going back to the hospital and she says, my wife, "How are you doing?" "Not so good. I'm afraid and I'm anxious and I don't want to go back. I don't want the needles. I don't want another surgery." But off we go. And that night after a 10-hour surgery, I woke up and I had 14 tubes and wires and things coming out of my body. I looked like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Does anybody know who that is? Let me just say this, he's very round. Very round. I was very round. I was puffed up and filled with water and stuff. And I literally remember asking my wife, "Christy, can you just count all these things coming out of my body?" And she goes, 13. She goes, 14. I was like, But I remember that first night I had a tracheotomy. And I don't know if you've ever breathed through a hole in your throat, but it's a weird experience. And I can't whisper, can't speak, can't talk, can't move. And my wife comes in for about a half hour. And I remember her leaving the room and they ushered her out. And I'm in there by myself and I think, Lord, is this the night? Will I die tonight? And there were two or three occasions when I thought, I think I'm about to die. If you've ever had that feeling, it is not a good feeling. And I think to myself, I'm not doing this well. What I can tell you is this. Despite fear, despite anxiety, despite being broken and desperate, I did do this with the Lord Jesus. And he came to me each night. I ended up being in the hospital for 40 days and 40 nights. And after the fourth surgery, on day five, Michael, my friend, the surgeon, comes in and says, David, the pathology reports have come in again. No more cancer. Oh, yeah. And my wife is so excited. And for some reason, I'm overwhelmed with guilt. I just can't do this well, can I? And she's, what's wrong with you? And I thought of my friend, Gerald, who just passed away from brain cancer. And my friend Reinhold, who just died of pancreatic cancer. And as you know, the list goes on. And I felt guilty. And at first I was thinking like, oh man, why am I going through this? And now I'm thinking like, why am I okay? It's a crazy journey, isn't it? And I know some of you have seen this and maybe experienced it. But don't fear, a few days later, I got a lot better. I was like, yes, I am okay. And as I left the hospital on the 40th day, they said this will be an 18-month to 2-year journey. And 3-4 weeks after I got home, I lost my voice. We don't know why. The trauma caused my nerves to no longer work, and my vocal cord became paralyzed, and I couldn't speak for 14 weeks. Miraculously, I won't go into all details, 14 weeks later, the doctor did a procedure that said would last for a couple weeks, and that was a year ago, and I'm still speaking. But right now, as I speak to you, I have a paralyzed vocal cord, and we're not 100% sure how this is working. But let me tell you something, it's not lost on me the privilege to stand before you and speak with you. So, when a hard thing happens, a hard moment, where do you turn? Do you choose bitter or do you choose better? Do you choose you or do you choose Jesus? Can I highly advise you to choose Jesus? Because there is no other way. There is no other way. And I want to introduce you to a woman who chose Jesus. I wonder how much anxiety she felt, how much fear she felt. I wonder if in the beginning of her turmoil, her disease, did she in the beginning feel like, I'm going to do this well. I'm going to do this. I'll have courage. I'll have bravery. I'll have strength. I'll show them how to do it. Somewhere along the way, it wasn't working so well. And we've already read this, and today we'll look at Luke chapter 8, and we'll begin, I believe, in verse 43. And this is the story. We know her as the bleeding woman. Let me give you a little bit of context. Jesus, he's been busy. He's just been across the Sea of Galilee to another city, to Gerasenes, and he has been calming the storm. You may have heard that story. He's been exorcising demons out of a man in chains in a cemetery. You may have heard that story. He's been busy, and then he comes back across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. and they're waiting for him. They're awaiting his arrival. The crowds are around him. You know, the curious are always there. Those who love him are there, and those who hate him are there, always trying to take him down. Always a crowd. And we have a story within a story. We heard about Jairus, and that's for another time. But Jairus comes and pleads for his daughter's life, and he says, "Come with me, Master." And Jesus goes with Jairus, and the crowd is around him and pressing against him. He can barely move. It's like, has anybody ever been to Oktoberfest? Anybody besides me? Yes, okay, a few of you. Don't go. If you don't like large crowds, don't go. I've gone twice, and it's two times too many. My wife loves it. She loves, if there could be 2,000 of you in this room, and it could be a smaller room with 2,000 of you, it's even better for her. For me, let's get 4 or 5 people around a table, hang out, chat a little bit, get to know each other. But this is kind of that crowd. It's shoulder to shoulder. People have been waiting for Jesus to come back, and he's trying to make it through the crowd. And then something beautiful happens. Remember? Jesus makes us new. He makes beautiful things out of you and me. And as a crowd is pushing around him, he's following Jairus or attempting to, this crazy thing happens. As Jesus went with Jairus, he was surrounded by the crowds. And a woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, she had been menstruating for over 12 years. And in this situation, she is ceremonial unclean for 12 years. She is isolated for 12 years. She is lonely and broken for 12 years. And she has not been able to find an answer. She had been bleeding constantly, and she could not find a cure. She had gone from doctor to doctor, healer to healer, helper to helper. She had spent all of her money, and she could not find a cure. But she heard about this guy. She heard about this man God. She heard about Jesus, and she sought him, and she decided to turn to him. And when she had not done this well, she decided that Jesus could. And I think as we observe this story, we see a person of humility. And she reaches out to touch him. And she touches his robe. As she came up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. She was healed. And Jesus says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Can I ask you a question? Do you think Jesus has any idea who touched him? Do you know who Jesus is? Let me remind you, he is 100% divine, which means he is God. He was God, he is God, he will always be God. And yet, he has allowed himself to be restricted into a human form, but he is still God. He knows who touched him. This is an opportunity for her. This is an opportunity for the crowd. This is an opportunity for her to stand before him and tell her story, and for others to experience the miracle of his power. And then Peter looks at Jesus and he says, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you. What do you mean who touched you? I think everybody's touching you." "No, no. There is one. There is one who has sought me out, who wants to do this well with me. Today, she will be made new. She will become a beautiful thing because of me." When the woman realized she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. Do you hear this? Jesus is on a mission. He's on his way to solve another crisis, but he stops because our Jesus is relational. He is incarnational. He is God made in flesh and blood. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, lived among us. He was not separate from us, but with us. And he heard her story. And then he looks at her, and he calls her daughter. Did you know it's the only place in scriptures where God refers to a woman as his daughter? And he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. See, Jesus did this well. Jesus healed her, gave her strength, gave her courage. Jesus made her new. Jesus is in the business of making us new. It's what he does. He makes us new. I pray that God would give me a supernatural faith. I pray that God would give you a supernatural faith. So what? Why is this important? You see, Jesus makes us new through the process of sanctification. No suffering is wasted by God. No suffering is wasted by God. Now, I know that right now this resonates with some of you. It may even cause you some anguish and some pain at this moment. I am so sorry for your pain. So, so sorry. But Jesus will not waste it. So, 40 days and 40 nights, I had a lot of time to think. I could not speak most of that time. Could barely move. And I had a lot of theological questions. I am insanely curious, incredibly inquisitive. I cannot help myself. The only thing that saves me is I'm 100% sure of this, that Jesus Christ was crucified for the sin of the world, for you and for me, that any of us that would know him and follow him, that we would not perish, but we would have eternal life. And I know this, on the third day, he was resurrected from the grave. He rolled the stone away and he walked out alive. Completely alive. And because of that, I can ask any question I want because I always come back to the resurrection because I know it is true. And in those sleepless nights, and by the way, there is humor in a hospital. I had a nurse. I'm just going to call her Birgit. I eventually became to know her as Bad Birgit because Birgit would come in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. and she would say, Herr Martin, du musst schlafen. Du musst schlafen, you have to sleep. And I'm going, Birgit, this plan of yours, not working so well. You know, I'm going, hard to sleep when you're yelling at me. And man, I wish I could regale you with the funny stories of that time. But I had about 8 theological questions I wrestled with the Lord on, but one of them was this. Lord, Lord, you didn't curse me with cancer. Lord, you didn't punish me with cancer. Lord, you didn't even give me cancer, but you allowed it. Lord, why would you allow it? What does this do to me and you and our relationship? Did I love Jesus before this? Yes. Do I love him now? More. Did he come to me in those nights? Yes. Was I alone? No. Did he do it well? Yes. So, Lord, why did you allow this? And about the third or fourth night of this discussion, he said, because I am making you new. I am making you new. See, Jesus makes beautiful things out of you and me. And he makes us new, even in our suffering, especially in our suffering. I know his presence. And I know his voice. Have you heard it? He never yells at you like Bad Birgit. He is sweet, and he is kind, and he is gentle. And sometimes it's like a whisper. But I challenge you, listen. He wants to speak to you. Because Jesus is making us new. Let me take a moment to end with a brief story. Anybody a C.S. Lewis fan? Man, I love C.S. Lewis. Have you read The Chronicles of Narnia? Anybody but me? Anybody Narnia fans? Man, what a great job Clive does with his storytelling. And this is a story of a young man, a boy, who Aslan makes new. This is from The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. As Eustace, the dragon, becomes who he was created to be through the cleansing power of Aslan. And Eustace tells his story to Edmund. I looked up and I saw the very last thing I expected. It was a huge lion coming slowly towards me. And one strange thing was that there was no moon last night, but there was moonlight where the lion was. So it came nearer and nearer. I was terribly afraid of it. You may think that, being a dragon myself, I could have knocked any lion out easily enough, but it wasn't that kind of fear. I understand. I wasn't afraid of it eating me. I was just afraid of it. Do you know what I mean? I was just afraid of it. If you can understand. Well, it came close up to me and it looked straight into my eyes. And I shut my eyes tight. I couldn't take its gaze. But that wasn't any good, because he then told me to follow him. And Edmund says, "You mean he spoke to you?" "I don't know," Eustace said. "Now that you mention it, I don't think it did. But all the same, it told me to follow him. And I knew I'd have to do what it told me to do. So I got up and I followed him. And he led me a long way into the mountains. There was a garden, trees and fruit and everything. In the middle of it, there was a well, a deep well. The water was as clear as anything I'd ever seen. I thought if I could just get in there and bathe, it would ease the pain in my leg. But the lion told me, 'You must undress first.'" Remember, Jesus makes us new. So I started scratching myself and all the scales began coming off all over the place. But just as I was going to put my feet into the water, I looked down and there it was. I saw that they were all hard and rough and wrinkled and scaly, just as they had been before. Then the lion said, "But you know, I don't quite know if he spoke, but I heard him say, 'You will have to let me undress you.'" Oh, I was afraid of his claws, I can tell you. But I was pretty nearly desperate now. So I just lay flat down on my back to let him do it. The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right into my heart. And when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I'd ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was just the pleasure of feeling the stuff peel off of me. You know, if you've ever picked a scab off a sore place, oh man, it hurts like a billy. I don't know what that means, but it sounds bad. Oh, but it is such fun to see it coming away. "Oh," Edmund said, "I know exactly what you mean." Well, he peeled the beastly stuff right off. Just as I thought I'd done it myself the other three times, but I hadn't. Only they hadn't hurt. And there it was, lying on the grass, only ever so much thicker and darker and more knobbly looking than the others had been. And there was I, as smooth and soft as a peeled switch and smaller than I'd been. Then he caught hold of me. I didn't like that much, for I was very tender and underneath now that I'd had no skin on. And he threw me into the water. Oh man, it smarted like anything, but only for a moment. After that, it became perfectly delicious. And as soon as I started swimming and splashing, I found that all the pain had gone from my arm and my leg. Then I saw why. I had turned into a boy again. Eustace had become his true self. He had been made new. because that's what Aslan does. That's what Jesus does. He makes us new. So, let me ask you a question. Has Jesus made you new? Is Jesus continuing to make you new? Maybe the most important question, will you allow him to make you new? Will you choose bitter or better? As I end this moment, I know there is a question that lurks in our minds, and it is a painful question. What about the times that I pray and I do not get what I prayed for? What about the time when I prayed for my friend Gerald and he did not make it? What about the time I prayed for my mother, my father, my friend? What about the time I did not get the answer I wanted? And I asked the Lord, Father, if I die tonight, and I thought I would, will you have inclined and heard my cry, as Bono said? Will you have heard my cry? Can I tell you this? He said, absolutely. If you die tonight, I will have heard your cry. Because on your worst day, it will be your best day. Because that physical death is a brief moment in which you will go through the door of life and you will be with me. You see, Jesus makes us new, especially in our death. Let me pray. Father, thanks for this moment. Thanks for these people. Lord, thanks for making us new. Lord, I pray that we would choose you, not ourselves, that we would trust you, follow you, seek you, desire to know you. Lord, continue to make us new. Father, I pray for those who are in pain, that you would give them peace, mercy. Lord, could you? Could you so sweetly, kindly give us joy, even amidst our suffering? Lord, how we love you. Lord Jesus, may your kingdom come. In the name of Christ, amen.
Thank you, David, for filling in for Pastor Mark. Thank you for the wonderful testimony and for the sermon. And finally, thank you, Shane, Gordon, and Ruth, for leading us with the music today. And please stand if you're able and sing our last hymn, number 485, To God Be the Glory.